You're listening to Cincinnati Edition, where it's time to go On the Money with Chris DeSimeo and his guest this morning, Michael Farr.
Well, perhaps it was a copyright issue. I'm referring, of course, to yesterday's morning release of the unemployment figures. Normally, CNBC, ahead of these things, will play stirring music, the March of the Toreadors, Hallelujah Chorus, Born to Run by Bruce Springsteen, anything that gets you revved up. What they really needed, however, as the numbers came out, actually was Garrison Keillor doing the Rhubarb Pie song, because the numbers just showing that things just aren't as bad as people thought. We got a scare on Wednesday, the ADP employment figures coming in a little softer than had been expected. Thursday, the first-time claims, not so bad, but yesterday morning, the unemployment rate was reported to have fallen another notch to 7.5%. Non-farm payrolls had been guided downward now before the release to about 100,000. They came in up 165,000. Private sector payrolls up 176. And what was breathtaking were the revisions for February, which was revised upward about 70,000 to 332,000 new jobs. And last March figures were revised up 50,000 from plus 88 to 138. So just maybe things aren't as bad as people thought. The futures went from flat as a pancake to up over 110 points before the opening. And to help us make sense out of last week's activities and festivities on Wall Street, with the big numbers being released and earnings continuing to happen, it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show our friend Michael Farr. He is the president of Farr, Miller & Washington in Washington, D.C. Michael has been in the money management business for many, many years, a fixture on public radio and on commercial TV, Bloomberg, CNBC. And his third book, Restoring Our American Dream, is now available online and at bookstores. And Michael, thanks so much for taking part of your weekend to be with us.
Chris, it's wonderful to be with you and your listeners. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Michael, what do you make of all this? We've had these catastrophes du jour almost, or of the month, where people were terrified of the budget negotiations, and they were terrified of the sequester, and yet somewhere things don't appear to be as bad as people thought. How's that feel in Washington right now?
It feels rather odd in Washington, and the odd thing, Chris, for all of the good news that you reported, the one standout that I think a lot of folks may have missed, given all of the headlines coming through the end of the week, was the report and the release from the Federal Reserve that they are going to continue to stimulate the economy. They're going to continue to spend $85 billion a month. And in fact, they said that they would be prepared to increase that if necessary. So despite the good economic news that you so accurately recited at the top of the program, the Federal Reserve came out with comments that said, wait a minute, we're seeing something different. We continue to be concerned. We are not at all sanguine that this recovery has enough traction by itself. So I see the good economic data that you described, and it certainly makes me feel good. I think still it's a result, it could be a result, and the intended result, by the way, the intended result of the $85 billion a month and the huge, hundreds of billions of dollars of deficit spending by the fiscal side of government. So we're throwing so much money into this economy that we're essentially creating on two sides of government, on the monetary side and the fiscal side, that kind of when you shove that much air into the balloon, it's going to inflate somewhere. And I think we're seeing some of that inflating happen in the economic data that are more positive. And that's the intention. And we hope that it will take on a life of its own. We hope that we will stop having to pour kerosene on our campfire to keep it going. And we hope that when we stop, the fire will take on life of its own and keep us warm for quite a while. But what we heard from the Federal Reserve was, we think we better keep pouring kerosene. Mm-hmm. Underneath all of this, of course, Chris, are the consequences, and we still really don't know what they may be in the future for all of these stimulus dollars, because we've never seen this volume and capacity of stimulus dollars in the past. So lots of moving parts, but for the time being, with that pledge of ongoing stimulus from the Federal Reserve, I think you're going to continue to see share prices remain pretty well supported and perhaps move a bit higher.
You know, Michael, in your book, I mean, of course, we've talked about your earlier books, you know, A Million Is Not Enough and The Arrogance Cycle. This book, Restoring an American Dream, is a highly concentrated. It's an easy read, but it's a kind of book that you go through and you read a couple paragraphs and you put it down and shut the book and say, let's think about that. Because you bring up some very very appropriate imagery in terms of ways to help investors figure out, sort through what you just described. In other words, you have a Federal Reserve that, you know, the ultimate insider is saying one thing, and yet the headlines are saying something different. How do you, to have a way to judge for yourself, you talk about in your book a level playing field. And in this playing field, actually, it's more like you actually use driving analogies. Tell us how the financial services world, as it relates to individual investors, is somewhat like a NASCAR and sometimes like a nice Sunday drive.
Well, Chris, thank you very much for clearly reading my book. I appreciate that very much. I was very flattered, Chris, that General Brent Scowcroft, the former National Security Advisor, agreed to write the foreword for this book. He never does it, but when he heard the book and what I was writing about, he said, okay, Michael, this is very important. I'll write the foreword. And PJ O'Rourke, who is funny as a rubber crutch, as we say, wrote the afterword in this book, and what he wrote was just laugh out loud funny. So I was so complimented by these two guys. But America has a problem on a couple of different levels, and we're seeing the Federal Reserve's response. We're seeing the response from the Treasury and Congress as they continue to try and spend more than they bring in, I guess, to support the economy, we hope, at least at certain points. But trust has been breaking down, and in societies without trust, you watch economies falter. And I think largely the faltering of this economy right now, the weakness in the economy, and our slowness, sluggishness to recover is due to a real lack of trust in Washington, in Wall Street, in the big banks, and in big business. And I tend to be a storyteller, as you can tell by my, I apologize, long-winded answers here. But I tell stories in this book about NASCAR, about lemonade stands, and about other things to try and bring these points home. But essentially, if we can restore trust, number one, and number two, if as a country we can return to reliance on American ideals and a belief that the American dream is still possible, that hard work, talent, and tenacity, self-reliance, if you really go out and work hard and are determined, you can create and achieve marvelous things in America. The American dream is possible, and when people believe that as you said, the playing field is level, that they have a real chance, and that it's solid, that it's not going to shift underneath their feet, that Washington or some corporation isn't going to impose some never-heard-of-before tax or isn't going to change the rules on them. If they believe they have a fair shot, a level and solid playing field, Americans will do it. We need just the chance and the opportunity to go out and prove ourselves over and over again. And that creates a better economy, and that creates a better America.
Yeah, which you describe as people instinctively know, you know, when you come to a traffic merge that you have to, there are certain rules that are written and some are unwritten, but regardless of the size of the vehicle you're operating, you just can't go ram the guy in front of you just because you're in a hurry. That's not acceptable behavior, and that there are consequences for it. So are you suggesting then that the economy, that Americans are pretty good at understanding that we have to work together and within rules in order to keep going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think Americans know exactly what we stand for, and I think there's a great deal of frustration, in fact, that we can't kind of get back into control of driving our own vehicles, of our own businesses and lives and economy. And so I created a website, and it's OurAmericanDream.com, OurAmericanDream.com. It's a free self-publishing website where you can go on and in 1,500 words or less, publish your family's American dream. Tell us the story. Share the stories that you were told as a child. Share the stories of your grandmother or your grandfather or your father or whoever immigrated to this country and how they did it and how they made it. And it's a website of these marvelous, inspirational stories.
Is this looking to you, getting back to the market, more like a stock picker's market than just buy the whole thing? It seems like companies are reporting earnings, and yet within a sector, some companies aren't doing so well, and others are just continuing to roll. What's up? Stock picker market or just buy the whole thing?
I think that you can't buy the whole thing. I think that a number of companies, and this goes back to our concern about the Federal Reserve, are having more bleak and dire forecasts. Even though the numbers they're reporting have been okay, in some cases even good, the forecasts aren't as great. So strong balance sheets, good cash flow, a little dividend never offends, but you've got to have organic growth and good solid balance sheets. This is the way we manage money for other people and have been doing it for a lot of years. You just can't take risk with money you can't afford to lose, so you really need to understand the companies you're buying, why, and that they're solid and well managed.
Great point. Michael, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Michael Farr, whose latest book, Restoring Our American Dream, now available online and at your favorite bookseller. Michael, thanks again. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, Chris, and thanks for what you do for all your listeners.
Thank you. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Chris DeSimio on The Money.